بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the choices of salat and salam upon Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى who is our creator, our sustainer, has bestowed the great bounty of Iman in Islam, and together with this Allah سبحانه وتعالى has made us from the ummah of Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, these are great bounties and great favors in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the weight of which weighs any more valuable than anything in the world. The weight of Iman, Islam, has much more value than anything in the world that exists in the world. So we need to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great value of Iman. Allah is very kimti, very valuable. And together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the proof of the love that Allah has for us, He would sometimes bring opportunities and moments that becomes a means of us increasing the levels of our Iman. Like we had the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that passed, which also very, very significant days. Now we're in the first 10 days of Muharram also. These are significant days, the last 10 days of Ramadan. These are significant occasions. Occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought for us to increase the levels of our Iman, to become conscious of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that when a person becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very first thing he sets correct between him and Allah is with regards to his worship and ibadat. If a man doesn't understand the importance of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the responsibility he has with Allah in terms of ibadat, then every other thing in his life, he would not understand the importance of it. He wouldn't understand the importance in the bond of family. He wouldn't understand the importance of brotherhood. He wouldn't understand the importance of trade and commerce and how to do it correctly. These things will have no value, no bearing for him. He will do it however he wants to do it, because subhanAllah, everything takes its impact from the salat. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that inna salat tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. The salah is such an ibadat that it helps a person to abstain and stay away from shameful things and from lewd things, from bad things and evil things. Because everything has a ripple effect from your salat. If your dealings are not correct in the other facets of your life, whether it's trade and commerce, or whether it's your domestic dealings with your wife and your children, or whether it's social dealings with you and other Muslim brothers or other humans also, then it is only because your salah is not correct. Then you need to make an effort in your salat. And the first thing, Allah to show the importance of this ibadah, the very first thing for us to be questioned from the day of Qiyamah, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسُبَ بِهِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing a person will be questioned for, reckoning, accountability, will be based on his salat, his worship, his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mandatory, it's not optional, it's not that we've got a choice about it. But because Allah is Rahim and merciful, although He has made it mandatory and compulsory on us, He has attached in it things that are beneficial for you and I. In salah itself, when one looks at salah and the manner in which salah is made, and all that builds up to salat, like wudu and the sunnah, nafil salat, all these things, wallahi, you'll see in it, they are much, 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 much benefit for you and I. And the benefit is not just in terms of ibadah. The benefit is that it will set correct all our dealings. A man's akhlaq and character will become correct if he's conscious of in his salat. The man will guard his gaze if he's looking down in salat. If his eyes are all over the place out of salat, how is he now looking? When he's supposed, in the point where he's in the masjid, and in the masjid, everything is halal. The fan, the wall, the Muslim brother next to you, all are halal. And yet you're commanded to look down. Mawdi'u sujood, the point of sajda. So in the salah, he cannot fix his eyes to one place. Then you can imagine out of salah what he will be doing with his eyes. And Allah is, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ أَعْيُنَ مَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the deception of the eyes and whatever the heart conceals. You know, many times we may think to ourselves, many times we pacify ourselves and we say, you know what, hey, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad person. You know, I probably got this week and that week, but I'm not that bad. Everybody claims that they got qalbun salimun tayyib. They have got a peace and content and a pure heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'lam ma fi sudur. Allah knows what is in the hearts. And whatever is within the heart will definitely come out in terms of actions. So if your actions are found wanting, is because your heart and effort hasn't been made in the heart. And where will this effort be made? Wallahi, this effort will be made in salat. Why do you think Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyid al-Anbiya, he would spend hours on ends in salat? And Allah had forgiven his past and future sins. He was ma'asum. But he would spend hours and ends on salat. Why? Because salah is a therapy. Salah is a means and a way of making a person understand and look at things in a way which is beneficial for him. In a way in which Allah is pleased with him. Unfortunately, we haven't understood the importance of salah. Even if we are performing salah, still, there are so many things within our salah that we lack. How much of khushu and khudu', how much of humility and humbleness, concentration have we developed in our salah? For many years we're performing salah, 30 years, 40 years. But the level of concentration of salah. And you know what? It'll show on how you treat your salah. How much concentration you have in salah and how much you give spiritually in your salah. It shows in the manner in which you treat your salah. You know, our pious predecessors, our great scholars, they had so much of ihtimam, they had so much of importance, so much of concern they showed on salat. In fact, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, who was a great scholar, he says that إِذَا رَعَيْتِ الرَّجْلَ تَهَاوَنُ عَلَى التَّقْبِيَةُ الْأُولَى فَغْسِلْ يَدَكَ عَمْهُ. That if you see a person who is not showing importance on takbiratul ula, the first takbir, that takbir which you use to enter within the salat, if the man is not punctual on takbir ula, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, who is a great scholar, he says, understand and know that this person, you wash your hands away from this person. You cannot do dealings with this person. Now how many of us, we don't even show importance to this takbir at all, the first takbir. We perhaps think to ourselves that, you know, even if I must 2-3 rakat, then I've still got the salat. You've got fadil of salat, you've got the jamaat. But what importance have you shown to the salat? By you coming early to the masjid, subhanallah, that is showing eagerness to comply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some of the scholars like Waqi' ibn Jarrah was the ustad of Imam Shafi. He mentions about another scholar, great scholar amongst his ustads, by the name of A'mash. He says, Kana A'mashu qariban min 60 sana. He was close to about like 60 years old. And he says that ma fatatuhu takbiratul ula. He didn't miss one takbiru ula. The first takbir, not one salat, which is huge in the impact in terms of the harm and the repercussions that it will cause in your life and the lives around you, people around you also. But he didn't even miss takbir al-ula, yet at the very senior age. He says, فَاخْتَلَفْتُ إِلَيْهِ قَرِيبًا مِنْ سَنَتَيْنِ. He says, I went snooping behind him for 2 years, watching him. Every time he'll come to the masjid, I'll come snooping, I'll watch him and see what he would do. He says that, forget about not making takbir ula. He says that ma ra'aytuhu fatat raka'atan or ma ra'aytuhu yaqdi raka'a. I didn't even see him making qadha of one rakat. He didn't even miss one rakat. For how long? He says within the 2 years I've seen not even one rakat. Now we need to make a little self introspection and see within ourselves, subhanallah, how much of ihtimam are we showing on this salat? It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, it is a direct gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the different ahkams and laws and injunctions that came to us via Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in his earthly life, while he was in the earth. But when it came to salah, to show the importance of salah, Allah himself made intizam of a mode of transport which nobody have ever seen till today via a buraq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this buraq to traverse, to go over the earth, subhanallah, and the distance and the time and the speed that he moved in, subhanallah, beyond imagination. And then subhanallah, Allah subhanallah brought Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the furthest point that any being has ever come to. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam this gift of salah. So we need to understand how great and how huge is this salah, subhanallah. There were great scholars. Like Sufyan ibn Ayyana, it's mentioned that for 50 years, ma fatatuhu takbiratul ula. For 50 years, he didn't miss takbira ula. The very first takbir he used to initiate and get into the salah, that very first takbir for 50 years, he didn't miss. And he says, وَمَا نَذَرْتُ عَلَىٰ قَافَاهِ الرَّجْلِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مُنْذَ خَمْسِينَ سَنَةً. For 50 years, I hadn't looked at the nape of another man. The back of the neck, the nape. I didn't look at a nape of a person for 50 years. Meaning that for 50 years he was always in the first saf for salah. Subhanallah. And our salah doesn't start with takbir. Although in terms of the fiqh, salah starts by takbir al-tahrima, the first takbir. But spiritually, Spiritually, salah has started at the point when the adhan has been given. And at that point, when a person decides to comply to come to the masjid, now he has now spiritually made an effort that, you know what, I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who say that, you know, the adhan is given, now I'll make it later on. And because of that, shaitan will deceive them to the point that he won't even make it. There are those who have some valid excuses. But the masses, we know the cases, they don't have valid excuses. Those people who comply to the adhan, when they hear the adhan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them an inherent quality within their hearts, that when they are faced in a situation where they don't know what to do, they are baffled, they don't know whether this is permissible or not permissible, Allah will give them that ability to shun evil, to stay away from haram. That farasat, that deep thinking of a Muslim, he will be able himself, without even, I'm not saying go and ask the scholars. Sometimes what happens, a person is in a catch-22 situation, the situation is in front of him, and he needs to make a decision as to what to do. And if he's a person who hears, when he hears the adhan, and he complies to it, Allah will give him that ability to now comply to that which is permissible and that which is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then subhanallah, when a person comes to the masjid, the very first thing he needs to do is, he needs to make wudu. Now unfortunately, when it comes to wudu, many of us, myself included, we haven't understood the importance of wudu, and what a sacred and sanctified thing wudu is. Because wudu is actually a key to salah. And salah is the key to Jannah. La salata liman la wudu' lahu. There is no salah for the person who has no wudu with him. So obviously, it's like a chain reaction. If your wudu is not correct, your salah is not correct. And if your salah is not correct, then you have now lost a key to Jannah. So obviously, your wudu, you have to pay a lot of attention when it comes to wudu. And we know the case, a person is in the wudu khana, he'll be multitasking, he'll be speaking about this, that and the other, and yet at the same time, he's making wudu. This shows how much of ihtimam and importance we pay to our wudu. You know, it's mentioned, subhanallah, when a person makes wudu, if he is conscious of wudu and he's conscious of the ad'iya, the du'as that he's supposed to make in wudu, then he will have no time to do anything else but wudu. There are certain du'as in wudu which are sunnah, they're established from a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which are sunnah. And there are certain du'as that are mustahab and the preferable du'as that our pious predecessors used to make. And these du'as, subhanallah, if you continuously make these du'as, you will find that the acceptance from Allah will come. And if you look at the meanings of these du'as, also we find they are full of meaning and they are full of benefit. So a person comes to the masjid, he washes his hand, there's a du'a for washing the hand. The person goggles his mouth, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Wallahi, what beautiful words. Oh Allah, a'inni. Allah, assist me, I'm helpless. Comes over, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do. Allah, help me and assist me to make your dhikr, to praise you, and also to make your shukr, to be show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in the Quran, that very few people are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So assist me to be among those people who are grateful to you. And to make husnul ibad, beautiful and acceptable, pure ibadat. Acceptable ibadat in the court of Allah. And ibadat has stages and it has darajat in terms of acceptance. Even in salah, subhanallah, we may all be standing in the same saf, but all of us are getting our reward. Depends on the level of our concentration, depends on the manner in which we made our salah, we're getting our rewards differently. So husnul ibad, Allah give me the ability to make husnul ibad, beautiful and acceptable ibad. In Allah jameel and yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves that which is beautiful. You know, we as humans, we have that quality that when we buy something or we acquire something, they will want to take the best. Nobody wants to take something second hand, or nobody wants to take something which is counterfeit. Nobody wants to take something which is inferior quality. Everybody wants something that is unique and something which is superior in terms of quality. Then how not Allah will have the same standards? Allah will also have the very same standards. So when we're making our wudu, we need to be conscious of this, subhanallah. And then subhanallah, a person washes his right hand. Allahumma aati kitabi yamini wa hasibni hisabi yasira. He washes the left hand. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an tu'tiya kitabi bishimali aw mi wara'i dhahri. Look at the meanings of these words, subhanallah. Allah, give me my books of deeds in my right hand. Wa amma man utiya kitabahu bi yamini fa yaqulu ha umqra'u kitabiya. The person who reads, who actually is given his books of deeds on the day of Qiyamah on his right hand, and this is a sign that he's successful. Then he'll go out to his friends and his family and he'll say, ha umqra'u kitabiya. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. That he will say to his friends that I knew definitely this accountability. And therefore we find ourselves in a situation that we find ourselves presently in South Africa. Many people don't fear accountability. They don't fear accountability. And if a man doesn't fear accountability, then he will do everything that is immoral. Wallahi, if a man doesn't fear accountability, he will do everything that is immoral. It'll make no difference to him whether he gets that money on the back of somebody, he gets that money by harming somebody, he gets the money he takes from the orphans, or he oppresses somebody else. It means nothing to him because he doesn't fear accountability. But if a man fears accountability, wallah, by the qasam of Allah, just to get something with shubh, something with a doubtfulness in it, a little doubtfulness in it, that alone will be enough to stir him and make him to think hours on ends before he even takes it. If he fears accountability, because he knows there's hisab, there's accountability. And therefore, Nabi Sam thought of the dua, Allahumma hasibni hisabai yasira. Allah, give us the ability that when we are taken to account on the day of Qiyamah, that our accountability must be easy. You know, when a person is traveling from abroad and he comes through customs and then they tell him to open his bags, even if he knows that he haven't has anything illegal, he still feels paranoid. That maybe as I'm moving, somebody put something to my bag. That's accountability. Imagine you feeling that paranoia and you feeling that anxiety, that stress on the fact that you know you did nothing. Then you can imagine the case of a person on the day of Qiyamah in front of Malikul Amlak, the king of all kingdoms, the king of all kingdoms, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing escapes Allah. So Allahumma hasibni hisabai yasira. Allah, make my hisab, my accountability be easy. Because I tell you, wallahi, even with our ibadat, even with all the ibadah that we make, if Allah chooses to take strict accountability for each and any one of us, we'll be all lost. It'll be impossible for us to be successful. You know, there's a waqi'ah that's mentioned of a person who in Bani Israel, his whole life was based on ibadah. He used to live remotely away from the people. He ostracized himself. He used to stay in the bushes. And he built himself a synagogue. He used to worship Allah subhanAllah. For years he spent his life like this. For provisions he will take from the tree fruits and he will eat from there. And then when Allah subhanAllah called him for accountability, then Allah says to him, enter Jannah with my mercy. Then he couldn't understand this. He says, Allah, I spend my whole life in your ibadat, and now it is through your mercy I'm entering Jannah. SubhanAllah. And then later on it's mentioned that one ni'mat, one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was brought in front of him. And all his ibadah was not enough in comparison to this one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, all your ibadah, nothing in comparison to the mercy of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These small things, small in our eyes, minute in our eyes. But wallahi, they are huge, huge bounties and huge favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're making your wudu, you're reciting the dua, wallahi, the benefit of it is coming to you. The dua you're reciting, you're washing your face. Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabyadhu hujuhu awliyaik. Wala tusawwid wajhi yawma taswaddu hujuhu adaik. Wala brighten my face. Put radiance. Put a sign of light in my face. You know, the pious friends of Allah, even in this world, in this earthly world, you can see the nur, divine light in their face. Wallahi, you can see the nur emanating from their face. So Allah, make it such that on the day of Qiyamah, I must be among those people who have brightness and nur, and which is a sign of success in Akhirat. And do not make me be among those people who have nothing but darkness and shame in their face. So imagine a person making wudu 5 times a day, he reads this dua, wallahi, Allah is arhamar rahimin. Allah is most merciful than those who claim to be merciful. Definitely Allah will accept it. One dua Allah will accept, your whole akhirat is made. But unfortunately, we don't have the time. We're busy talking of sports and entertainment. You know, he hit so many shots. You know, he's the best batsman or he's the best soccer player. You know, we talk of things ma'la ya'nina that does not benefit us in the world, as always the akhirat also. It's just information and information. If you don't know it, you feel that you're not part of the circle, you feel left out, but wallahi, it has not brought you closer to Allah. And in terms of your material progress in the world, it has not progressed you also in the world. It's just entertainment. But here we are in ibadat that's here. Wudu is an ibadat. It's an ibadat. It might not be an ibadat like salah, but yet it is still an ibadat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then subhanAllah, a person makes masa on his head. Allahumma adhillini tahta dhilli yawma la dhilla illa dhil arshik. Allah, give me shade from your shade when there's no other shade except for the shade of your arsh. On the day of Qiyamah, the severity of the heat will be such that subhanAllah, people will be drowning on their own sweat, their own perspiration they'll be drowning in. And in that day, subhanAllah, only chosen slaves of Allah will be given shade. And imagine if a person continuously makes this dua, definitely Allah will accept it. You know, Allah treats a person in accordance to his expectation of Allah. If you expect Allah to be merciful, if you expect Allah to accept your dua, definitely Allah will accept your dua. And then subhanAllah, he makes the dua washing the neck. Allahumma fukka raqabati min an-nar. Allah, save my neck from the fire of Jahannam. Now where he's going to have time when he's reading these du'as, where he's going to have time to talk about this and that and the other? He'll make du'a when he's washing his right feet. Allahumma thabbit qadamiyya ala siratik al-mustaqim. Allah, keep my feet firm on the straight path. Because wallahi, by the qasam of Allah, hidayat, guidance only comes from Allah. If Allah wishes, you with all your knowledge and all your influence and all the things that you have will go astray. There are many people, I tell you, there are many people. Look at the books of history. Many people who were very intelligent humans, very intelligent. Look at, for example, Einstein, who were kafirs. And the things that, subhanAllah, the scientists have mentioned, he used most of his brains compared to a normal human being. But his brains, he used most of it. But he couldn't get to the one point that there's only one Allah. A small child in Maktab, you ask, Abka Khali kon hai? Who's your creator? Allah. But this, subhanAllah, Einstein, who came with the different theories of this and that and that and the other, subhanAllah, his whole life was based on theory, but he didn't come to the point of realizing that there's only one Allah. So it's not your intelligence, it's not your physique, how strong you are. It is not your appearance, not your ethnicity, which race group you come from. It's not your geographical disposition, which country you come from. It's not your gam, your tribe, your lineage. These things we just put in front of us. And these become the things of many issues and problems, you know. But these things will not, they are not a pass, they're not a visa for us to enter Jannah. It's not a visa for the acceptance of Allah. It's not a means of getting close to Allah. It's not the criteria for acceptance of amal. So subhanAllah, this is how a person was supposed to be making wudu. And like that, there are many other, yeah, there's just a few that we mentioned. Time is very, very limited. A person comes to the masjid after he makes, before he makes his farz salat, he'll make sunan. He'll make the sunnah of salat first. Why? Because you imagine the person, he comes from outside. He was at work. He was with his family. He was in some leisure time he was spending with some friends. And then, so when he comes into the masjid, obviously the atharat and the effect of whatever happened out is still within his mind. So to him, just to go into salat, to disconnect and connect into salat becomes very difficult. Because he finds himself in salat, but really he's there physically, spiritually, and mentally he's not there. He's still outside. So he makes his sunnah, subhanAllah, preparing for the farad. Like how normally when a person, he has something important to do, then he'll obviously prepare for it. The person wants to go to Johannesburg, then he can't just go like that. He makes sure the car is serviced, he makes sure there's what you call patkos, food for the road, you know. He makes sure everything's arranged before he goes, because to make easy his journey. Preparation. So likewise, the sunnah is there to bring a level of concentration in your farad salat. And then he comes to the farad salat. Now everybody is Muslim, and everybody has Iman, and everyone have Islam. But only one person will be put forward. Only one person can lead. So that teaches also in our communities, we can't have 3, 4, 5 leaders. We'll have a big problem. A community which has many leaders has a big issue and a big problem. They'll be divided in everything. There should always be one competent leader. Like we have put one person in the front to be the Imam. Because we have reliance on him. He is the Imam. He is leading us in Salah. He is the one that we will come to and we will ask, we'll seek guidance from. So where we learn this, all this is in Salah. Allah is teaching us this in Salah. But we think Salah is just an ibadah, a spiritual ibadah. Rather, it's not just a spiritual ibadah. It takes us out of Salah. It helps us in the different facets of our lives. And when the Imam is in the front, and say the Imam decides to read Surah Ikhlas in his first rakat, and you standing in the back, you say to yourself, you know what? Why must I read Surah Al-Ikhlas? No, man. Hey, I'll read Surah Baqarah. It's the longest surah in the Quran. I'm not going to read that. I mean, from the small children reading Surah Al-Ikhlas. Will his salah be correct? No, it will not be correct. It will not be correct because why? Isma'u wa ati'u wa law ammar alaykum abadul habashiyun. The Nabi Sallam says what? Listen attentively and follow instructions, even if you have been instructed by an Abyssinian slave, even if you have been instructed by a person who seemingly is low, seemingly is low, but subhanAllah, in the eyes of Allah is something different. كَمْ مِنْ مَعْرُوفٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَجْهُولٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَكَمْ مِنْ مَجْهُولٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. How many people in the world are very popular and known by everybody, but in terms of the akhirah, they are strangers, nobody knows them. In the sama, amongst the malaikas, with Allah subhanAllah, he's a stranger. But how many people in the world who are strangers, nobody knows him? Bichara, simpleton, simpleton, subhanAllah. But he's got this sunnah in his life, he's made an effort on his deen. Unknown person, nobody, when he dies, few people come for his janazah. But this person, in the eyes of Allah and his malaika, is ma'roof, well known, subhanAllah. He's the wali and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, we have to comply whatever our leaders have told us. We have to comply, subhanAllah, we should follow. Isma'u wa ati'u, listen attentively and follow your leaders. And if they have made blunders, then they will be accountable for their blunders. But that doesn't mean that you must become a person who is arrogant, a person who is rebellious, because you will be accountable for your own actions. So these we learn from Salat. And you'll notice in Salat, there's different postures for different moments of time. A person is in Qiyam, a person is in Ruku, a person is in Sajda, a person is Jalsa Bayna Sajdatain. He's in different postures for different amounts of time. This teaches us in life also, men in life also we like that. We don't want to be on the same level all the time. You always want to progress. Today I'm moving with the Golf 1, tomorrow I want to Golf 2. The next day, inshallah, after a couple of years, I want to move with the Mustang GT500, inshallah. You know? Permissible. Within your budget, obviously. You know, it's permissible. This is how we think in terms of the world. We want to progress. Likewise, in our deen also, for the last 10 years, you're only making farad. What happened to the sunnah? For the last 10 years, you're only fasting in Ramadan. What happened to the nawafil fast? What happened to the sunnah fast? We must look for progress in deen also. There must be a level of progress. One of the scholars they mentioned, he says, you know, I missed my one salat and it became qada. Meaning I made my salat, but it was out of its time. He says, the scholar by the name of Ibrahim al-Bukhari came to me and he made ta'ziyah. He condoned me that, you know, condolences, maaf, man, you missed your salat, inshallah, Allah make it easy. Only one person came to me. And he started crying. And he said, you know what, if I had to lose one of my sons, then tens of thousands of people will come and they will come now condolences for you. Why? He says, because people haven't understood the musibat of the akhirat, the actions of the akhirat. If a person misses on the action of the akhirat, people haven't understood how weighty it is. But when it comes to the musibat of the dunya, people's hearts pour out. So wallahi, these are auspicious days. Very auspicious days. And how we will get benefit from these days? When we try to remain on the obedience of Allah. And the very first thing comes in line of obedience is salat. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to understand the importance of salat, to make that exerted effort that we increase in the levels of our salat. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, humu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.